We just finished a strong series, Winning the War in Your Mind. I know we had a Winning the War workshop here on Thursday, and I've just heard so many good reports, so many fantastic things said about how helpful that workshop was as well. But certainly a series like that gives us a lot to process and a lot to think about, because it is one of those pivotal difference-making series, that book. And I know some of you are reading that book, and it'll take you a little longer to read the book perhaps than it does to preach the series, because you're reading when you get time and you're working through and processing that information. And then we're in the in and out season. Summer season, where many people are traveling, beautiful in-person crowd today, and a great group online. So I'm thankful for everyone that's connected to the house and a part of the house. And I know there's some ins and outs and people catching a few days, and I want you to do that. But I also want us to remain strong, and I want us to remain connected and always moving forward, because this is such a unique season that we are living in. Our community is trying to open back up. Our nation, our world is trying to open up again. People are moving about, and people are going places. I don't know if you've tried to go to restaurants. They're packed out, and there's a few challenges there of fewer employees and more people that are trying to get out of the house. And so the community is opening up, and that is a good thing. But it's also a unique spiritual time when God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us. And I don't want to miss what it is that God is saying. I don't want to miss the season that we are in, because I really believe that 2020 was teaching us something, and 2021 is an opportunity for us to live out what he was trying to teach us. And I do not want to miss it. I don't want to miss it personally. I don't want to miss it as a father and a husband in my house. I don't want to miss it as a pastor of this church. I don't want to miss it as a God chaser, just someone who is hungry for the things of God in my life. I want to hear what it is that God is saying. And I want to spend a few moments teaching today, preaching, and honestly, this could be an entire series, but I'm going to sum it up in one word. That's not even possible, but I'm going to do my best today. I want to talk to you about stay. I want to invite you to stay. I want to invite you to just sit and just hold and just pause in the presence of God. Pastor Brian, he didn't know what I was preaching today, and I didn't know what his ministry moment was about, but he talked about the presence of God and not being in a hurry. And I'm going to read in just a few moments from Genesis 32, and you'll be able to follow along, but I want to give you a little context for the verses that I'm going to read today, and a little backstory, so that maybe you can understand or appreciate more what it is that we will key in on today. It is the story of Jacob and Esau. The story of Jacob and Esau is a lot. It is a lot. Arguably, the story is still unfolding. If you know anything about types and shadows in the Old Testament, then you know there is a story within the story. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. He's the second born fraternal twin to Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac was the one that went to the top of the mountain with his father, Abraham. Abraham was about to sacrifice his only son, and here come a ram in the thicket, and God provided a sacrifice, and Abraham ultimately did not go through with that. It's that Isaac. This is Isaac's second born twin, Jacob and Esau. You remember that God told Rebecca while she was carrying these twin boys, Jacob and Esau, he said, there are two nations in your womb. That's why I say the story is still unfolding, because they are literally two people that to this day, two nations that to this day still wrestle with one another, still fight with one another, still are at war with one another in many ways. Esau is the older twin. He is manly. He is hairy, the Bible describes him. He is a hunter. He is a man who is out in the field. Jacob was the complete opposite. He was more of a mama's boy, we would call him, someone who's staying closer to the house and up under his mom's skirt, just right there near her at all times. His name means deceiver. Jacob means deceiver. It means heel grabber. Esau was born first, but only a half second before Jacob. They were obviously wrestling in the womb. They were fighting within Rebekah for who was going to be born first. Esau ultimately wins, but when Esau is born, Jacob's hand is attached to Esau's heel. That's why Jacob, they named him Jacob. He was heel grabber. He was attached to Esau, wrestling, trying to be born first. It's an interesting story. And he lives up to that name, because later he would trick his brother into selling his birthright. This is why this could be an entire series. I don't have time to preach all of the history, but whomever was born first, they were automatically entitled to the birthright. Not because they were a good person, not because, the condition was just the fact that they were the firstborn. Esau has the birthright because he was the firstborn. But Jacob has been trying to get this from him. He was trying to get this from him while he was still within Rebekah's womb. Esau is born, but Jacob is wrestling, holding on to him. And Esau comes in from hunting one day. He's so famished. He's so exhausted. He's so kind of lost within himself that Jacob trades him a hot bowl of soup for his birthright. It's a true story. If you've spent any time in Sunday school, you are familiar with the story that I am telling you today. If you're hearing it for the first time, then I'm sure you are as fascinated as I am even preaching it. But Jacob has been tricking his brother. But he's got the birthright and no blessing. And so Jacob, the deceiver, the con man, if you will, he dresses up to look like Esau. He puts fur on his hands to make himself feel and appear more hairy like his brother Esau. He tries to mask his voice. He goes into his aging father Isaac's bedroom, where Isaac is now overcome by age and he is blind. He goes in with this costume on and with his voice disguise, and he tricks Isaac, his father, into giving him the blessing as well. So now Jacob possesses the birthright and he has the blessing, but he didn't get it by honest means. He didn't get it in a right way. He has these things, but he didn't come by them honestly. And so everyone is upset with Jacob. His brother wants to kill him. His father is not happy with him. Jacob runs from home. It's running far into another country. That is where he meets Rachel. He wants to marry Rachel. He works for 7 years because Rachel's father, Laban, says, "You can't just have my daughter as your wife. You've got to work for her." And so Jacob works for 7 years. He has this wedding moment with who he believes is Rachel behind the veil. He gets into the honeymoon chamber. She takes the veil off, and it is her ugly sister, Leah. That's what the Bible said. She wasn't pleasant. She wasn't pleasant to look at. Jacob is frustrated. Jacob is mad. Jacob has to work another 7 years in order to get Rachel as his wife. Now he has Rachel and he has Leah, and Jacob is trying to sort out his life. He's had a very eventful life, much due to his own choices, because Jacob has not always done things God's way. Can I tell you today that there is always a price for not doing things God's way? That's not the message I'm preaching today, but it's one you need to just mark down in your notes somewhere. There is always a price for not doing things God's way. And here's the truth. God is going to use Jacob. You would think that his life would forever be disqualified. You would think that Jacob would have himself in such a mess that he would have so many issues, so much baggage that God could never use him. But the truth is, God is going to use Jacob powerfully. He's going to greatly use and bless the nation that is born out of him. But there will be process in his life. It's going to be process. I'm giving you backstory, but let me pause for a moment to tell you that God will use you too. You may have incredible purpose on your life. You may have awesome calling on your life. You may have undeniable anointing on your life, but none of that negates process in your life. There will be a process in your life. There is something called sanctification. There is something called purification. It's the thing that turns potential into power. That is process. If I want to become everything, if I want to become everything that God has called me to become, I have to endure the process. Just tell someone beside you, it's a process. You know how you order something and you get that notification that your order is processing. Seems like it takes forever for the order to process. So with that context and with that background, let me read Genesis chapter 32. If you want to meet me there on your Bible or on your digital Bible app or even on our screens. Genesis 32, beginning at verse 23, the Bible said, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives," that's the Rachel and Leah we talked about a moment ago, "his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok." He gathers up his family and he says, "Look, I need you all to go to the other side of this river. I need you all to go on down the road a little ways. I have some business to tend to." You know why? Because everyone cannot go where I am going. Sometimes you have to separate yourself. Sometimes you have to pull away from. Sometimes you have to Allow there to be some space and allow there to be some distance between you and other people. And sometimes people that you love a great deal. After verse 23 says, that was verse 22 rather, after verse 23 says, he had sent them across the stream. He sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob has sent his family, his servants, his help, everybody across, and now he has sent all of his possessions, his gold, his silver, his weapons, all of that is across because my money is not going to help me with the process that God is trying to take me through. I can't buy my way through process. I can't give my way through process. All I can do is yield to the process. I was ordering something online a few months ago, and I needed it to arrive by a certain time. There was an option in the order process to pay an extra $8.95. I can't believe I'm telling this story because I can't believe I did this. But I paid the extra $8.95 to cut the line. That's what I was doing. It clearly said it. This will move your order to the front of the line and it will be processed faster. When I clicked it, I felt bad about it. I really did. I thought, here's all these people I don't even know. And I'm going to get my product faster than all of them. And it cost me $8.95. And guess what? It still took about 3 months. And when it arrived, it was wrong. And the Lord said, dummy, you can't cut the line in life and win. You can't get ahead of the process. So verse 24 says that Jacob was left alone. He has no family. He has no money. He has no help. It's just Jacob and God. Can I tell you today that it will always come down to just you and God? Ultimately, it doesn't matter what you acquire in life. It doesn't matter what you accomplish in life. It doesn't matter what you achieve in life. It doesn't matter where you move. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you learn. It will always come down to you and God. So many people are fighting this. So many people are pushing against this. So many people are running from this. Let me get up in my crowd. Let me get my security, my help. Let me get those that I can lean on. People are our crutches. But it came down to just Jacob being there all by himself. And I wish I could tell you that it was a pleasant exchange. But it wasn't, because the Bible said that Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. A man wrestled. It could be a series, but let me just mention as a side note, most scholars believe this was God himself wrestling with Jacob. There's a number of reasons that go into that, always specified an angel or the angel of the Lord or something, but all the way through this text it keeps referring to the man. It's the man himself. It is God. You can decide, read, or believe what you want to believe. It really is not germane to the importance of the text, but the Bible said that he was wrestling until daybreak. And I know that sounds completely crazy to you. I mean, what is he doing wrestling with God? And I know that sounds foreign because I'm not talking about us specifically, but we have such a soft church these days. We're not used to being persecuted. We're not used to having hands on us. We're not used to dealing with crisis and trouble and difficulty. We have been raised in such a kind and soft environments that we don't even know what it is anymore to wrestle until a thing begins to turn in our lives. Because no one is travailing until blood wrestles break. No one is hollering until they're hoarse these days. No one is tarrying until the sun comes up. And I know some of you are new to this spiritual thing, and you're like, I don't even know what you just said. I don't know what travailing is. I don't know what tarrying means. Why are y'all hollering? Why are you praying loud? And yet, I got some senior saints in the room. I've got some old school folk. I got some people that know exactly what I'm talking about. That we would travail until a situation changed. That we would pray until something happened. That we just would not get up, and we would not turn loose, and we would not let go. The consequence of no one being willing to just stay in the presence of God, that's the consequence, is that we do not have the miracles that the old church saw. And the devils are not scared of us anymore. We're just people that get together on Sunday. Call us whatever you want. Take church off and put up yacht club out there on the sign. Do we at least have a John boat in the building? Just put up car club. You just to get together of people. I'm not preaching at anyone today. I'm trying to stir up the gift that is in us. I'm just talking to you about what God has been talking to me about. You, Pastor Darrell, don't have the power that you need to have. You are not travailing until blood vessels break. You are not hollering in prayer until you are hoarse. You need to get in a place and just stay until all of this moves, until all of this changes in your life. Because hear me, it is the anointing that destroys yokes of bondage and addiction. It's an anointing. An anointing does not come just by accident. It's not there because we're talented. It's not there, you know, just because we put on the right clothes today, or we buttoned up our shirt to the top, or it only comes because someone is willing to go through the process and stay until it changes. Wrestling. He wrestled until daybreak. I used to watch wrestling. Any wrestling fans in the room? Come on, admit it. I know it's not cool anymore, but I used to watch wrestling as a kid. I'm talking about old school wrestling. I don't know anything about this new stuff. I don't watch it. I don't have any idea. And I'll tell you why. It ruined me, because I watched wrestling every Saturday night. My father had left when I was about 5 years old, and he was in and out of our lives, but the only real connection we ever had was a love for wrestling. And so when he was available to talk, we would talk on Saturday nights, and by available, I mean he wasn't in prison or something like that. It's okay, you can chuckle. It was life. But when he was available to talk, we would talk on Saturday nights, and we would talk through the wrestling. We would talk all the way through Hacksaw Jim Dugan's match. I'm talking about old school wrestling. I'm talking about DDT, you know. I mean, I'm talking about the old school wrestling. Kamala, the Ugandan warrior. Thank God I'm the wrong color and maybe not quite that size. Lord, have mercy. Old school wrestling. But then, I never will forget it. It is a memory that is burned in my brain, probably because it was one of the few events that I had with my biological father. But he took me to the wrestling. I was going to go see these people wrestle in person. Can I tell you, as excited as I was so disappointed to see it in person, because wrestling is fake, y'all. I don't know if you know this, but on TV, they make it look so good. But when you're sitting there ringside and that man cocks a punch and throws it, he's missing his head by like 2 feet. It looks like on TV he connected square in the nose. And I mean, these men are talented. They're entertainers. They fall at the right time. Their timing is impeccable. But when I left it, I was just a kid. But I never had any interest in watching wrestling ever again because it was fake. I was invested in these men's life. I was invested in their injuries. I mean, he's injured right now. You know, this happened or that happened. It wasn't real. None of it. It was all for show. And I'm wondering if the kind of wrestling with God that we're willing to do in 2021 is the same kind of wrestling where it's just a form of godliness. It's just walking around the room and acting like we're praying, but we're not really in the wrestling match. I don't know where you're sitting. I just need one or two to catch this. I just need one or two that'll go on this journey with me. I'm hoping it's more, but I need somebody in this room that understands what it is to travail until sons and daughters are born, to reach for the things of God until clouds break, until there is revival, until there is breakthrough. Maybe it's a young person sitting in this room, 12 or 13 years old. Maybe it's a student just 15 or 16 years of age that'll get a hold of this in the spirit and say, you know what? I don't want fake church. I don't want just looks good on social media church. I want the real thing. I want the real thing where there is power. I want the real thing where there is change. I want the real thing where there is breakthrough. I want the real presence of God. But he wrestled with him. And the Bible said that he wrestled until daybreak. I don't know what time Jacob started this wrestling. I don't know what time it was that he got his wives and kids and his money and his possessions and his animals and everything on the other side of the Jabbok River. I don't know. I don't know what time of the evening that was. I don't know how long it took Jacob to convince God that he was serious this time, that he wasn't playing this time, that it wasn't just a casual, meaningless trip to the altar this time, but somehow and some way the Lord showed up on that hillside, and they started wrestling. And it wasn't just a few moments, it wasn't just a little while, but it was all night long. It was until daybreak. They had wrestled all night long. Because we're in such a hurry these days. You know how it is. Church can't be too long. Preaching is kept in a small box. We worship with expression, but not too much expression. Church is so cute in 2021. It's so highly produced. And we're so careful about it. I've got a clock that's telling me I got 13 minutes and 10 seconds. Nobody is, I established that clock. It's my clock. Don't fault AV or worship or anybody. It is to give me a clue. And now that y'all know where that is, you're all going to be looking all every Sunday. Amen, I think. No, I'm going to withhold that amen. Because we're in a hurry. We're in a hurry. I sat and listened to a man preach one time for 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours. It was amazing. I didn't need to go to the restroom the whole time. 3.5 hours. Who in the world preaches 3.5 hours? I don't have any interest in preaching 3.5 hours. I'm not trying to condition you to think that's what we want to do. I'm telling you, there was something so powerful in that room. There were miracles happening. There was revival that was happening. There were chains that were breaking that no one wanted to move. We would stay there all night long. I'm old enough. I'm suspended in between old age and youth. I'm in this thing called middle age, as hard as it is for me to admit that, 48 years old. Here I am suspended between two worlds, but I am old enough. I am old enough to remember being in the presence of God until well after midnight, until 1 or 2 in the morning in revival services. And I'm not talking about me and somebody else. I'm talking about hundreds of people, because everyone was so hungry. No one wanted to move. No one wanted to move. Jude and I went to Springfield, Missouri here just a couple of weeks ago, doing a Wednesday night revival service. And I was so excited when I arrived, because they had food trucks out there and they had bounce houses and they were setting up basketball goals, and it was all about the party. We were having revival, but it was all about the party. And I can't even quite describe to you what God did in that service. I can't quite put it into words just yet, but I'm telling you, God broke into that place, a building that seats a few hundred people, and it was packed, every single seat. There was no thought of social distance. There was no thought of anybody trying to spread out. It was packed all the way to the steps of the stage. The balcony was packed. They had opened up the doors, and there were people sitting out in the lobby and people sitting out in the cafe. I don't know if they all came because there were food trucks. I don't know if the kids were excited because there were bounce houses. All I know is that God swept in to that room. God moved into that room. And finally, before it was all over, the food trucks were all packing up and leaving, because no one left the room. Hundreds of people stayed worshiping and praying. People were receiving the Spirit. People were being healed. Lives were being changed. Yokes and addictions were being broken. Why? Because somebody was willing to stay. Because we weren't in a hurry. Because we weren't moving. I'm not mad at anybody. Don't misinterpret my passion today. I'm not mad at anybody. But I am concerned with how the enemy has conditioned us and changed us and changed the church to the point that we do not tarry anymore. That we are in such a hurry, that we got to move so quickly, that we got to get out so fast, that it all has to wrap up so quickly, that we are not seeing the kind of change that needs to happen. Because hear me, some things do not cook in a microwave. If you want it to be good, you have to stay. I'm from Texas. I can't get good brisket in Georgia. I'm sorry. I love y'all. Y'all know your butts and your pork. Y'all don't know nothing about brisket. So I've started making my own. It's good. I ain't ready to have y'all over yet, but it's good. But I was making one here a couple weeks ago. It was the same size as the other ones I'd made, but this one, I don't know, I couldn't figure it out. And if you do any grilling, every piece of meat is different. They don't cook the same, and it's a whole science, and you kind of got to get into it, and it becomes a hobby, and you learn, and you try to understand. But for whatever reason, this piece of meat, this brisket, just would not finish. It just would not cook. I cooked others in 12 hours, others in 13 hours, but long about hour 16 and hour 17 and hour 18, and we're over into hour 19. I'm pulling my hair out. because dinner was supposed to happen a long time ago. Whatever plan I had made, it just would not happen. It just would not come together. It just would not until family. I guess you're gonna have to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because we're not gonna have this until tomorrow. I don't know why. I still don't understand why this one took long. Same temperature, same everything. Why this one took so much longer. Finally, the brisket was done. Hours and hours and hours after you let it rest. We're up into the 20 hours, you know, that this process has gone on, and finally you get the opportunity to take a bite. And my family is saying, this is the best one yet. This is so good. This is far and away better than the other ones that you have cooked. I don't know. I hope they don't all take that long. But what I know is sometimes you cannot rush good things. Sometimes we cannot be in a hurry. And the question that I have for you on this Sunday is, are we willing to sit in God's presence? Are we willing to stay? Jacob is wrestling. He's wrestling. And it's interesting because verse 25 would tell us that when the man saw that he could not overpower him, I'm gonna read that again and explain it the best that I can. When the man, God, when the man, angel, whatever you choose to believe there, when the man, heavenly, supernatural, powerful, when the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. It needs explanation because one might read that and think that Jacob had a chance to whip God. No, it reads better that Jacob was so desperate that he wasn't going to let go. Jacob was a man born holding on to his brother's heel. He knows how to hold on. The problem is he's been holding on to the wrong things. And now he has a hold of God, and he is so desperate that there's no way he's going to let go. I'm wondering, do we know that kind of desperation? Do we know that kind of passion? See, we have too many options now. If we don't make it to church on Sunday, well, we got any number of Instagram preachers, and everybody got church on Facebook. We got pastors all over the country. If y'all don't like what I say, you tune me out and you sign into what they say, because no one stays anymore. No one just locks in and holds on anymore. But hear me. God touched him in such a way that he had to respect God, because God will always declare himself. I need to hurry. I just need another moment. God will always show himself. The Bible said that he will not share his glory with another. Jacob, you're holding on to me. And sometimes in my flesh, I think I am smarter. I think I am stronger. I think I am better. I think I'm all this that I can, if I'm not careful, I could ease back over into my deceiver, my trickster, my heel grabber. I know how to hold on. I got to make sure you're doing this for the right reasons, Jacob. So he touches him in such a way that Jacob never walks the same again. Jacob has to move differently. And the man said, verse 26, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go because I have tried to get here all of my life. This is what I have been trying to achieve all of my life. I did it the wrong way every time. I tricked my brother. I conned my own father. I got crossed with my father-in-law. This is what I've done my entire life. I have run. I have tricked. I have conned. I have supplanted. I've done this my whole life, and I finally got a hold of the real. I finally walked into the real presence of God. I'm finally feeling something like I've never felt before. I'm not about to let go. I'm not about to turn loose because this is what I have been thirsting for. This is what I've been hungry for so long. There have been times, there have been times in my life that I knew if I moved, it would leave. And so I couldn't move. I couldn't move. I was praying. The church I was raised up in, Irvington Pentecostal Church, that building said about 800 people. It would be packed every Sunday morning and Sunday night and every Thursday night. Our Bible study didn't start till 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Can you imagine starting a midweek on a school night? Can you imagine starting it at 8 o'clock at night? Some of y'all just thinking of the excuses. No. I can't do that. We're not doing that. I'm just trying to tell you where I came from so you understand a little bit about the passion that burns in me. That building would be packed. But I remember me and another young guy. I started preaching when I was 14 years old. In that building, first message preached in that building at a youth service. 14 years old, hungry. Friday night wasn't about running the drag. Friday night wasn't about pizza. Friday night wasn't about whoever had a party. Friday night was going to that church. Going to that church. And laying on that floor. Red carpet, worn. White wooden pews with red padding. Building was scary at night. It was in a bad, bad part of town, and always drugged out people, drunk people wandering into the building. But I remember one night laying there in the altar, laying on my face, my head in that carpet, begging God, asking God to use me, asking God to anoint my life. I never will forget. Hearing the side door that was just about 15 feet over to my right, I heard that door opened up, and my first thought was, it's a drunk, it's a drug person. We just two teenagers in this building. What are we going to do? But all of a sudden, there was peace that came over me. For whatever reason, as young as I was, there was something in me that said, don't move. I understand there's people in this room that's probably going to think I'm crazy. May have somebody new to this house that would say, all right, no, I heard y'all were nuts and this proves it. And I'm sorry. Hang out just a minute. Find out. Don't let your tradition speak to you. Let your spirit speak to you. But for the next number of minutes, hear me, every young person, every 15-year-old young man, every 15-year-old young woman, every 13-year-old boy, girl, every young person in this room, hear me, because that's how old I was. For the next number of minutes, I don't know how to describe it to you other than to tell you, probably better up here, but I literally heard Teresa. For the next few moments, left, right, left. I heard marching, not just one, hundreds. Call me crazy, but I knew what I was hearing. I could hear their wings brushing up against the wall as they went down that aisle. I never saw them. There was no cell phone to pull out and record and to become a social media sensation because I captured the video. All I have is the experience that happened to me. I didn't write a book about it. Never preached a sermon about it. I don't know that I've ever told the story until right now. It was something that God did for me. Why? Because I stayed. Because some things don't happen in the immediate. Some things don't happen. Sometimes you gotta lock in and say, God, what is it that you're trying to do in my life? And I knew, Lydia, I knew if I would have lifted my head, it would have been gone. I knew. And so something said, don't move. I didn't move. I never raised my head. I just heard them march and march and march. Who is this God? And I heard him say, it's the army of the Lord. I'm sending them to do what you asked me to do. They're just staging. They're just preparing. They're just getting ready. You know what convicts me, what haunts me, if I'm so honest? I don't know if I could conjure up a dust bunny in 2021. I've walked with angels, and I'm wondering, God, where is the power? Are we a church that gets together, buys new air conditioners, feeds a few dozen people every week? Are we a church that ministers to a few hundred on Sunday? Or, Jordan, is there something burning in us that will make a difference, that will shake a community, that will turn a state upside down? I don't know if you know it, but the murder rate in Atlanta is up 56%. Beloved, Buckhead is a war zone. It's not just Atlanta, it's all over the country. The devil is running crazy because no one will get in the presence of God and just stay. And just stay. And just stay. My time is gone. Don't look at the time. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. I cheated, brother. I conned, father, for my last blessing, but this one is going to be mine, honest. So the man asked him, God asked Jacob, what is your name? Jacob, he answered, we know you, Jacob. We know you. You can't outrun this. You all over the news, Jacob. We know who you are. We know what you did. Deceiver, supplanter, heel grabber, cheat, con. But listen, there's people in this room that God is about to say to you and ask you what he asked Jacob. What is your name? Who are you? What have you done? Get honest with me in the moment. Get honest here in the presence of God. Who are you that you're not running from, that you're not hiding from, that you're not trying to con people out of? Who are you? And let me ask you, Are you ready? Because this is why Jacob wouldn't let go. This is why he stayed. Verse 28, the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Number one, I need God to change me. That's why Jacob sent wives and family across the river. That's why he sent all of his possessions. Because I need God to change me. I don't want to be Jacob anymore. I don't want to be all of those things that Jacob represents and means and everything that's in my past. So today I become Israel, which means I struggled and won. You didn't beat God, Jacob/Israel. You finally beat you. Because everyone you've been fighting was never your opponent. You've been fighting you, battling you. Have you ever heard anybody say, I am my own worst enemy? Jacob said, tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him. That's one of the main reasons they believe it was God, not one of the other angels that would identify themselves. Why do you ask my name? And the Bible said that he blessed him there. The one who had never had a blessing of his own, now he has his own story. You know what you need today? You need your own experience with God. Stand with me across the room, if you will. You need your own experience with God. So Jacob, verse 30, called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. You know what I want? I've been asking God for this week. I need a place, and I need an experience that I have to name, because it was so monumental in my life. This storm came on Florida. Got a little rain out of it here in Georgia. They name storms now. We were riding in the car. They were talking on the news. And Jude said, what's the process for naming storms? How does this work? So we were talking about how they name storms and why. I just felt the Lord talking to my spirit, knowing where I was going this week and what I was preaching. And they ought to name moves of God, places. I was right there. That's where I was the day that God changed me. So whatever I need to call this place, I was right here. I was over in that corner. I was on that row. I was on that stage. I was on that guitar. That's where I was. The moment that God changed my life. And so he named it. Because I saw God face to face right here. Peniel. Every time I pass, it'll be a place I visit. It'll be a memorial that I go to times in my life, because right here I came face to face. Verse 31, the sun rose above him and he passed Peniel. He was limping because of his hip. He was so changed that he never walked the same again. Let me ask you today, what needs to be changed in your life so that it is never the same again? The story, the reason that Jacob is in this place is because he's on his way to meet Esau for the first time in many, many years. He's been on this journey of trying to get right, and he's going to try to get right with Esau, but he knows that Esau hates him and wants to kill him. And so Jacob says, I cannot show up to this meeting the same person that I was when I tricked my brother. I need God to change me. Secondly, I need God to change my situation. Because without God's divine intervention, my past is going to catch up to me. And my life is going to go a much different direction. Let me ask you, who in this room is tired of running? Running from who you are, running from what you did. Who online today is tired of running? Tired of running. Running from past. Running. You don't have to run. You can stay. You can stay. And everything in your life stay. Will change. You can stay.
Where else would I go?
Everything will change. Say,
'cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord.
Sing it, Andrea.
Please stay. I don't want you to. My heart is burning
in your presence,
Lord.
Come on, tell us why.
And I want more. I want more.
Any kind of way about leaving if you have to leave. But if you have a few moments, if you want to find a place to pray, if you want to respond to God right where you are, we're going to be here for just a moment. I'm not trying to put something into an afternoon. I'm not trying to call anybody to fast their lunch, but I hope we can slow down in this season. I hope we can slow down in this season to let God do something.
I know one more.